Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. In keeping again with our subject of the end of the world, look at Noah once again. We've already talked about this to some degree, but we look at Noah again and of his day as the Lord gave us kind of a sign, didn't he? If you want to call it that, or evidence, if we want to connect it with faith, evidence that what was going to take place in these end times or in these end days. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Of course, he gave us another sign too, if you will, or another evidence of the days in which we live, and that is of the days of Lot. As it was in the days of Lot, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So we have quite a bit of evidence, don't we, that things are winding down. This world is winding down. That time is coming to an end, and eternity is about to begin for us. Eternity has always been for God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And time means nothing to him. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, so it doesn't matter. That's what it's saying. God is eternal. He has existed from eternity, and he will continue to exist throughout all the rest of eternity. And Bruce, that's a long time, isn't it? No, it's not any time at all, is it?
It is amazing. Yeah. It's just beyond us.
It is beyond us to even begin to comprehend. But it's true. We know that it's true because he has revealed it. It's a revelation of God, isn't it? JT read that a while ago. It's a revelation from God to his people, and what a blessing it is. But the whole idea is that we need to understand and prepare. That's the Boy Scout motto, isn't it? Be prepared. Well, you know, if that's the Boy Scout motto, how much more so should it be? Or we could put it in the words of the Apostle Peter, hasting unto that day. So that's what we need to be doing, is hasting. We need to recognize, first of all, and then we need to haste unto that day. So what is it? What is it about the days of Noah that we need to understand? Well, it's a lot of things, isn't it? As it was in the days of Noah, one of the most striking things about this reading that we've just done is he starts off with the fact that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And this is quite evident that this was extremely hateful to God. It brought forth his anger. Now, there's been all kinds of controversy over, well, who are the sons of God and who are the daughters of men and so forth, but especially the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? And a lot of people think that it's the angels. But I cannot see that for this reason. There's nowhere else that I know of, at least in this whole Bible, that angels ever had habitation with the daughters of the earth. There's no such thing, as I know of, as any kind of a marriage thing between an angel and a human being. It's just not there. And so, you know, I reject that whole idea. And I believe that what we're seeing here is that the sons of God were those that believed in God, that were the people of God. And yet, instead of keeping themselves holy, they went out and they married the daughters of the ungodly line. In other words, the lineage of Seth, for instance, is the godly line, and the lineage of Cain is the ungodly line, and those two came together and began to mix and mingle with one another. Now, we have some examples of that in the Bible, don't we? I mean, Bruce, you got something on your mind?
Jesus told the Sadducees that those that leave this earth and go to heaven will be as the angels, genderless.
Right. Right.
Right there, it's like, well, what does this angel have to do with this world?
Right. What is it? Nothing. And that's the answer to it.
Well, and it is interesting that the angels always appear masculine.
Yeah, right.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. And it's amazing to me how many smartypants believe that the sons of God are. And they get it out of jealousy.
I guess. Well, I don't know where they get that from, except I think it's just more dreaming than anything else.
They like the Hebrew word from the Nephilim or something like that.
Nephilim, yeah. But anyway, I don't think we are of that sort here. So I'm not going to press that issue, but what I am going to say is that we have many instances in the Bible where the saved, the Christians, if you will, mingle with the daughters of the earth, the earthly ones. Samson, for instance, and Delilah, right? What about Solomon and all of those that he mingled with and brought in too? And so we have these examples in the Scripture, and that's what I like to go by. If there's no Scripture for it, then I discount it immediately and go on. And if I don't understand it, then I look into the Bible to see what the answer is. But I'm not going to believe something that somebody gets from out of the Scriptures, apart from the Scriptures. I'm not going to take that up. So, but what happened here is that these unions brought forth giants in the earth, and men of renown. Now, well, great fame, and abilities. We have those things in our day. As much as we look at our schools, for instance, and we see the failure of education in most cases, and it's true. Our schools are very shallow in as far as education is concerned. But in that, there are those that are geniuses, so to speak. And they are giants, as it were, in the earth. And for instance, the Bill Gates type, the Bezos type, you know, all of those that like that, even Elon Musk, Donald Trump, you know, all of those men like that, the Einsteins and so forth, that they have accomplished things that nobody thought was possible to accomplish, and yet they're there. And in at least in most of them, there is a recognition of religion. They have that religion, but it's mixed with worldliness. And so that's one thing that we can say as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. But maybe perhaps more important is the wickedness of the earth. As he says here, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now again, we have this argument, always have this argument, you know. Well, it's always been that way. Well, wickedness has always been since the Garden of Eden, all right enough. But God did not declare His destruction in wrath on the day that Cain slew Abel. You understand what I'm saying? That was wicked, wasn't it? When Cain slew Abel, that was wickedness. Of course, it was really wickedness when Adam and Eve partook of that forbidden fruit and ate it in rebellion against God. Folks, that's wickedness. And it brought forth death. But God did not judge the whole world until the days of Noah. And one of the reasons that he gives is because the wickedness of man was great in the earth, which implies to me that wickedness has degrees. And when it got to that degree that God could no longer forbear, he had decided then that he had to destroy the world and then, as it were, kind of start all over, but not exactly, because it's the creation was still here. There was still a man, at least one man, that believed God. It's what it says. And Noah walked with God. Now, I've always wondered, you know, well, were there people that were saved and died before the flood came? It's quite, you know, possible, I guess, that there was. I don't know. Enoch? Oh, yeah. He was translated, wasn't he? He was raptured. Right? So, but it's very plain, though, that nevertheless, there were very, very few. And I believe that it relates again to that 18th chapter of Luke in verse 8 there, where Jesus wonders, kind of, will there be faith on the earth? Now that may sound funny to some, or strange for somebody to say he wondered, but you have to understand that he was speaking as a man. And again, it's one of those things that we don't understand, but we believe that he was both God and man. So, but will there be faith on the earth? And we need to really take that into consideration. Now, one of the things that disturbs me today is this, the fact that as far as I know, every Christian denomination, or every Christian for that matter, that I've ever run across, believes that we're in the last days. That they believe that the second coming of Christ is near. Most of them believe that it's imminent. In other words, that it could happen any time, any day, any hour, any minute, any second, that Christ would return. But we know that he is going to return. But they profess to believe this, and yet their actions do not portray that. Bruce, you and I talked a little bit about that this morning. What they think is, at least it appears that they think that they can set aside the predestinated purposes of God as he's bringing the world to an end. Now, what I mean by that is that as we have studied the scripture, we see that God has had a purpose, a plan, if you will, from the very beginning. In other words, He has followed a predestinated way from before the foundation of the world to the present day and hereafter to that day when Christ will indeed return again. We have seen how, again, He brought the world to the days of Noah. Now, once again, this thing that the sons of God went into the daughters of men, and it created giants, men of renown in the earth, it didn't surprise God. He knew that was going to happen from before the foundation of the world. It didn't surprise God that when He called Abraham out of Chaldea, that the nation of Israel was created. It didn't surprise God, though, that for the most part, those people that were called the people of God were wicked people. None of that surprised Him. It's all been according to His purpose from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world. And the amazing thing is that from a human standpoint, that He has put up with this wickedness as long as He has. It's amazing that He put up with the wickedness of the world before, or up until Noah, I guess I should say. That's the amazing thing. It's amazing that He put up with Israel as long as He did. As wicked as they were. I mean, He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness, and yet He says that, declares that, that for instance, Judah, the wickedness of Judah was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. But the reason, do what, JT?
But He wasn't going to make a fool end of it.
No, He wasn't going to make a fool end of it. Why? Because He had a purpose for it. And He preserved that nation until the day of Christ. It was no accident. For in the fullness of what? Time, God sent forth His Son. Christ didn't come into the world not one second before God's purpose was fulfilled, nor could He have come in one second later than that. All things, Bruce, are of God. I don't care what anybody says or what arguments they put forth, all things are of God. And the end of this world is going to be of God. Again, it's not going to be destroyed by some human instruments or some human ingenuity. It's not going to end that way. It's going to end when God says it's going to end. And it's going to end the way, though, that God says it's going to end. And that's perhaps more important, and it ought to be more important to us than the time of the end. I'm talking about the way that it's going to come to an end. And we've got, again, all of the things that God tells us that of the way that it's going to end, and it's going to end especially with the abomination of desolation being revealed. And when you see that revealed, and when is it going to be revealed? It's going to be revealed after the gospel has been preached in every nation, and God has taken out of every tribe and tongue a people to the praise and honor and glory of His name. World's not going to end before that. It's just not going to end before that. Because He's long-suffering to usward, right? Not willing that any should perish. Now again, the free willers, you know, they try to make that out like God's not willing for anybody, period, to perish. But Peter's writing to God's people. And when he said us, that ought to clarify it pretty clear, you know, that he's talking about God's elect people. In other words, the ones that he has written on the Lamb's book, in the Lamb's book of life, from the foundation, before the foundation of the world, those are the ones that cannot perish, because they have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and they've been brought to faith by the preaching of the gospel, and they have been kept by the power of God unto that day of salvation. Now, again, we do not know how many are yet to be called. We hope and pray that there are some that are still out there. In fact, we hope and pray that there's some even among ourselves that God's going to call out of darkness into His marvelous light. But notwithstanding, God is going to bring the world to a conclusion according to His time and according to His purpose. And if He purposes to allow the world to stand in its wickedness for another year, 10 years, 50 years, whatever, and ultimately it is all going to be brought down just exactly the way that God purposes it to do. The Apostle Peter, again, gives us to understand this in 2 Peter chapter 3. There are those, of course, those scoffers. They also have always been, haven't they? Just like the wickedness, it's always been. Well, the scoffers have always been too. But I believe they're worse today than they ever have been, and they get worse all the time, because the longer God's long-suffering continues, the more that they say, oh well, you know, y'all been saying that, the preachers have been preaching that forever, you know, it's just... Yeah.
We can do what we want.
We
can. Right. Look what we can do.
Spiritually speaking, they're building that Tower of Babel. Yes. They're
exactly.
And that's one other thing, you see, that we ought to take into consideration is God confounded the languages at the Tower of Babel, but now the languages are no barrier.
Right.
There's no barrier. So man has in his mind, he's always had in his mind that he's going to overcome God.
One of the languages that came about in this book, Satan, that made all this possible, is binary.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's your computer.
Yeah, it's one of the zeros. Light and darkness or whatever else you want
it's like that. What was that cigarette that they was talking about? The women's thing, you know. Or we've come a long ways, baby. I think was the slogan that they used. Anyway, doesn't matter. That was their slogan, you know. We've come a long ways, baby, and that's what man thinks, that he's come a long ways. I don't, you know, sometimes wonder, well, why do they think they've come so far when they can't even figure out how they built the pyramids back then, and you know, the hanging gardens, and I was reading something in some documentary, listening to a documentary the other day about the Indians in South America. You know, what were those Indians? The Incas and how did they accomplish what they accomplished? It boggles your mind what they were able to accomplish without all the modern, you know, heavy machinery and stuff that we have today. I don't know anything that's been built lately that's going to last for 1,000 years. but anyway. There are those scoffers. They have been, they are, and they're getting worse all the time. But here's what Peter says about them in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." But it was by the word of God, right? He says then, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by that same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now, again, what amazes me and somewhat disturbs me about many of those that I know and believe that they are the people of God is that they believe that the end is near, and yet they keep trying to change things so that they can put the end off. They're working.
Be on schedule.
Huh?
Be right on time.
Yeah, it's no matter what they do, it's not going to change. But the thing about it is, God has given us His Word so that we can see that it's near. Why? How? Because of such things as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And one of the key elements of it all is that wickedness abounds. That wickedness is rampant. That wickedness, even as John says, that the whole world lieth in what? Wickedness. What?
What is wickedness?
Well, it's rebellion against God in every aspect that you can think of. Doesn't matter whether it's in their conversation, their speech, their thought, their minds, their intentions. It's everything. Wickedness has permeated the world in the days of Noah and in the cities of the plain and like in Sodom and Gomorrah. Wickedness has permeated. It permeated the earth. And so today, wickedness has permeated the earth. And are you going to change it? And the answer is no. You're not going to change it. Because it is the purpose of God that just like He had the patience, if you will, the long-suffering with Egypt for 400 years. Why? Why were the people of God in Egypt for 400 years? Yes. The fullness of the Amorites had not come in. In other words, again, their wickedness had not reached that degree that God was moved to destroy them. Well, Jude and a whole lot of the others, as Peter writes right here about the Apostle Paul, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, every one of them, speaking in them of these things in which things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now, God has given us so many instances. 2 Timothy, for instance, chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, right? And what are those perilous times? Well, men's going to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, when I get to one of these that you don't think has reached its ultimate, then let me know. Stop me, and let's find one that's good. Let's find one that we can say, well, this is not worse today than it was yesterday, or 10 years ago, or 20, or whatever. When you find one of those, let me know. I'm talking about in this. Without natural affection, for instance, unnatural affection is rampant today in this abortion mill. I mean, first of all, it's hard to imagine a mother that would destroy her own child, especially. I mean, it's bad enough in the very first few days of that life, but even after they come out of the womb. I mean, there is no greater natural affection than a mother for her child. Isn't that right, Betty? You know that. You know it yourself. You love your children. The fruit of the womb. You carried those children for 9 months and you nourished them and cared for them. And then to destroy it. Yeah. Yeah, just anything to just because they're so evil, so self-centered, until they hate their own child that is their own body. So we yeah, it's not that it hasn't ever been, but not like it is today. It's mind-boggling. But all of these others, it's the same thing. What about truce breakers? How many people today, I mean, we used to make any kind of a deal with a handshake. Right? I can remember when I could go into the bank here in Tomball and get a loan by just signing my name on a piece of paper. Try that today. In these banks and all these things that they're just here for you. False accusers, incontinent, which just simply means no control. The writer of Proverbs talks about that. Man who has no control over his own spirit, he's in bad shape. He's really in bad shape. But who has in control today over their own spirit? Fierce and despisers of those that are good. If you really want to inspire the ire of someone, then just be good. They'll hate you for it. Traitors. Heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. having a form of godliness.
That's what they
think. Yeah.
Isaiah said it. But the camaraderie and the bitterness shall possess it, and the pile also, and
yeah.
the labor shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion.
Yeah.
And the stones of emptiness.
Yeah, and that's determined by God. That's determined by our Lord. That's determined by the Savior. Because of why? Because of the wickedness of man. It's not determined because God is so good, in other words, but it's determined by the wickedness of man. But in a sense, on the other hand, it is determined by the fact that God is so good. Why? Because he's so good, he cannot abide evil. And it's a false sense, again, that the churches are putting out to people that God is so good that he cannot punish. And what a sad state it's going to be when they wind up in hell because God is good. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And then here's his admonition, from such turn away. Oh, but we if we go out there and mingle with them, you know, we can change them. But see, that's one of those things that man thinks that he can overrule God. But my Bible says, leave them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. My Bible says, cast not your pearls before the swine, else what will they do? They'll turn and eat you up. They'll kill you. It's not very wise, you see, to go against God in anything. And then it says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. The world of sin started out with a woman. And to a great, great, great degree, it's going to end up with a woman. There's a woman that rides a beast. And if you read your Bible, you'll find out that the destruction of that woman is the end of the world. So, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, there's many other things that we could say. Again, this modern day evangelism is one of them. Folks are not doing a thing in the world except exactly what Christ said. They'll go around the world to make one proselyte. They're working at this. They are working hard to thwart the purpose of God in bringing this world and in how He's going to bring this world to its conclusion. But I hope it's enough for us to begin to really understand that God's going to end this world. Bruce, you keep saying it. There was a first day and there's going to be a last. And you can hope that it won't come, but it's going to come. Now, how is it going to come? It's going to come as a thief in the night. It's going to come, Christ said, when you least expect it to come. Because it's going to be a fair day, you know. Just like this day, it's a wonderful, beautiful day, and everything's going to seem to be right with the world, evidently, because when they say peace and safety, but God knows the exact day and hour. We don't, but He does. But yet He gives us all kinds of understanding that we might prepare ourselves that this does not come upon us unawares.